Well, please open your Bible at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 this evening. Peter's first letter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. In a sense, our Sunday night trail in recent weeks leads us to this verse this evening, where we read, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." In recent weeks, we've looked together on the Sunday evening at the words of Isaiah in chapter 41 and verse 10, where we read that he is with his people, he is our God, he will strengthen us, he will help us, he will cause us to stand. And we were there some 2 or 3 weeks ago, looking at those 5 pillars of fearlessness. Fear not, for I am with you. That's what God says to his people today. Fear not, I am with you. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, all-powerful hand. And when we consider that verse, we mentioned also what comes later in Isaiah, that the Lord is a God who sustains his people. If you're a Christian here this evening, lift your eyes, because God promises to sustain you. And that's why last Sunday we looked together at Psalm 55, particularly verse 22, at the instruction to cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not permit the righteous to be shaken. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not permit the righteous to be shaken. And in looking at that verse last week, we mentioned 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, because we guess that Peter must have had that psalm in mind when he wrote to the early Christians in the New Testament church who were scattered abroad, and said to them, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And then with words that are very similar to the words we looked at last week in Psalm 55, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." So from those 5 pillars of fearlessness, to the Lord sustaining us, to us casting our burdens upon him, because he does sustain us, tonight we come to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, and I want us to look particularly at the 3 words which all begin with the letter C, which means this evening I want to look at our cares. Our cares. And I also want to look then at our casting. Humble yourselves, casting all your cares upon him. And then thirdly and finally, I want to look at his care. So our cares, our casting of those cares upon him who cares for us. So far so good. Now then, let's begin then looking at our cares. And I want to try and do 3 things with our cares tonight. I want us to briefly define them. What is it we're talking about this evening when we mention our cares? Secondly, can we then describe them in some way so that we know the sorts of things that we're facing, which are described in the Bible as our cares? And then thirdly, I want us to dissect them further from last week so that we can look at what these cares are and the dangers that they have, what they can do to us. And that's the thing I've been most particularly struck with this week in my preparation. And so that angle particularly will come in as we look at our cares, what they are, the dangers that they have for us, and how we respond to them, particularly in the light of how God has instructed us here to respond to them. So let's look at our cares. First of all, let's try and define them. What are we speaking about tonight? We're speaking about our troubles, our anxieties, our worries, or our burdens. We might perhaps say we're talking this evening about our fears. We're talking about those things in our life which cause us trouble and anxiety, that cause us to be feared. And as we seem to have that promise in the Bible 366 times, "Do not fear," then we have to come to the conclusion that fear is very common, as is trouble and anxiety. So this evening we're talking again about what last week we described as burdens. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Those things that weigh us down. Those things which we're not to carry, but we are to cast. And as we said last week, the literal Hebrew word used in Psalm 55 verse 22 is that it's our lot. The burden, the weight, the trouble is nevertheless something that God has assigned to us in his perfect wisdom. So that's where we're talking this evening. Our anxieties, our troubles, our burdens as believers, the lot which God has given to us. Secondly, let's move on to try and describe those cares. Last week we looked particularly at David's burden or his care when he'd been betrayed, and being betrayed can be a burden to us as we face that awful situation. Here in 1 Peter we need to think about the people that Peter is writing to, the scattered pilgrims. What were their cares? What were their burdens? Well, we read of some of them in Peter's letter. They were facing hostility and betrayal and persecution from the world around them. They were suffering unjustly, particularly at the hands of the authorities. These things would have been a trouble to them, a burden to them, a care to them. We read of those who have difficulties because they have unbelieving spouses. We read of those who are on the receiving end of insult and evil. All of these things would have been a trouble to the believers that Peter is writing to. Last week when we applied Psalm 55, we looked at our own burdens. And we said our own burdens could be our sins. We can be anxious about them. That's why we're to cast them upon the Lord Jesus, who died that we might be forgiven. We said that it might be a burden to us that we're living in a day and an age where sin seems to prevail all around us. And we're living in a dark and godless society. And that might be a real concern and burden and trouble to us. We said that another burden we might carry is sins directed against us. Maybe when we've been insulted, maybe when we've been betrayed, maybe when we've been misunderstood. That's a worry and a trouble to us. I'm trying to describe here some of our cares. And last week we also spoke about those overwhelming circumstances of life which burden us, that are a trouble to us. Our hopes which have been dashed, our disappointments, our sadnesses. Some of the overwhelming responsibilities that we bear, both in the home and at work, those responsibilities that we bear to others. Maybe troubles arising out of health or financial concerns. We're conscious that our health is deteriorating and future care is uncertain. Who's going to look after us? Where? How much are they going to care for us? It can be a trouble to us, an anxiety to us. When it comes to financial concerns, how will I be provided for? Where will I find work from? All of these things can be troubles and anxieties that we bear. Conflicts within relationships, new chapters in our lives that are about to begin, and they're unknown to us, and we fret about them. Well, what if this and what if the other? And it becomes an anxiety or a care to us. We're looking firstly this evening at our cares. We've defined them, we've described something of them. And third and finally, under this first point, we're going to try and dissect them. What does the Bible say about these situations? What does the Bible say about these troubles? I mean, firstly, it's a great help to us, isn't it, if we can identify what it is that we're troubled about. Not always the case, though, is it? Not always the case that we know that we're troubled, but we're not quite sure what it is. And sometimes it's only when the moment passes that we feel an awful lot better and we realise what it is that we've been troubled and anxious about. That's often very common in life, isn't it? It's important for us, as we looked last Sunday night, to recognise the symptoms in us that often accompany those anxieties and burdens. Last week, David had a restless mind. He had a heart that was severely pained. He described the terrors of death as falling upon him. He said, fearfulness and trembling are coming upon us. We need to recognise not only the source, as we said last week, of our trouble, but the symptoms that accompany it, how we feel about the burden. But this evening I want us to particularly think about what is a real key dimension of our cares. And that's why I've tried to be so clear about defining them so we know what we're talking about. Tried to be clear in describing some of them so we know what they are for ourselves. But we do need to see a key dimension of those same cares. I mentioned briefly last week that the word that Peter uses here, care, means to draw or pull in different directions. So when you have a burden or a trouble or an anxiety or a care, by definition, that is something which has the capacity to draw you or to pull you, not simply in one direction away from the direction you know you ought to be going, but to pull you this way and that way. And so our burdens and our cares, and it is important we understand this, they have the capacity to stretch us and even to pull us apart in our minds. That's what the word care means. Another word Peter might have used is distraction. You see, a distraction is something which divides your mind. Which is why tonight I want to give two brief examples of worries or troubles or distractions, and then show us the seriousness of our cares. And it's that which has most struck me this week, the seriousness of our cares and our burdens. The first example is the one I read a few moments ago from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, where we read of Martha in that well-known story, which is often so hopelessly misinterpreted. Everybody says Jesus seems to have a real downer on Martha, and it wasn't really that bad. And well, that's not what Jesus said to her. He said, "You are troubled by many things," he said, "but Mary has chosen that good part, the one thing which is needed." That's what Jesus said. In this example, in Luke 10, Jesus goes into their home. What does Mary do? She sits at his feet, and she listens to his words. What does Martha do? Well, she serves much. In fact, the Bible says she was distracted by much serving. And it comes to the point where she approaches Jesus, in a sense, seemingly, with three questions. The first of all is, don't you care? The implication is that Martha thinks there that he doesn't care. She says, don't you care? Secondly, she says, tell her to help me. Not only is Martha suggesting that Jesus doesn't care, but why isn't he doing something about the situation? Go on, tell her to help me. I'm the one who's serving. It's not right, is it? Tell her to get off her backside and come and help me. And thirdly, there seems to be the implication there, Jesus, don't you care about what seems to me to be an injustice? You don't care, you're doing nothing, and this to me is unjust. Now it's fascinating to me that in all of this, what's Martha doing? She's actually showing that all she can think about is herself. Me, myself, I. She comes in this situation to be drawing attention to what she is doing. It's quite self-centred, it's probably very self-pitying. I'd also put to you, it's probably very self-righteous. Seems to me that here in this situation, Martha thinks that she's right, and not only is Mary wrong, but she's really saying that Jesus is wrong too, because he doesn't seem to care about what she says is the injustice. And that's the poor state that Martha has got herself into. And Jesus turns to her and says, "You are worried and troubled about many things." And I want you to notice there simply the impact upon Martha of her care and her burden and her worry and her trouble, and see what it does to her. Because it seems to me that we need to recognise that our burdens and our troubles and our anxieties, yes, they bring with them enormous sorrow. Yes, at times we feel that we're being pulled apart, because that's a very important dimension of a care. That's what it does to you. And we've already seen something of the impact of this upon us. We can have a restless mind, we can have a severely pained heart, but we can also then behave rather like Martha does. And she's not behaving right. She's worried and troubled by many things, and she's come to be wholly absorbed by herself, by her cares. Personally, I think that's interesting, because that same word cares is then used in the story that Jesus told as our second example of the parable of the sower. The farmer who went into the field and took the seed and sowed it, and you remember that it went into four different soils. The first one it was snatched, the second one it began to grow up immediately, but when the sun came up it was scorched, there was no root. The third one fell amongst weeds and it began to grow and then it was choked. And only the fourth one fell into good soil, where with perseverance it grew and produced fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. In that parable, Jesus uses the same word used here by Peter and of Martha. He uses the word cares. I think we learn something else here about the danger of cares. Jesus uses the word cares in connection to the thorny ground. He says there, the dangers of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what do they do? What do cares have the ability to do? Jesus says, choke the word. Choke the word. You see, in that third soil, there's no maturity evidenced because the heart is preoccupied with worldly things and consumed by the temporal. There, specifically, it's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, but they're described as cares which choke. And so there in that parable, we're warned about the world and sinful pleasures and sinful longings and sinful desires and ambitions that choke. But they're cares. They're things which absorb us when they're not to absorb us. And that's what I've never quite seen as powerfully as I believe I've seen it this week. You see, in our burdens and in our heartache and in the restlessness of our minds, we're often aware and concerned about the emotional and mental damage being done in that burden. And sometimes we're concerned about the practical outworkings of, oh, this situation is going to require more of me physically and more of me emotionally, and we get overwhelmed. But I wonder if we don't see the spiritual damage of worry, fears and cares. And tonight really is very much a warning to look at our cares and see them not only in that dimension that they pull us about, but that very really they ought to carry with them a health warning. A spiritual health warning. You see, here in Luke, Martha was distracted from what? From the word. What should she have been doing? She should have been sitting at the feet of Jesus. One thing was needed. Mary's chosen it. It's the better thing. It won't be taken away from her. And Martha not only does the wrong thing, she doesn't do the right thing. In the parable, the distraction worked counter to the word of God. It choked the word, preventing maturity. The dimension I want to bring to your attention this evening of our cares is that our fears and worries and anxieties can be serious spiritual distractions to us. That they can, perversely, as we see here with Martha, distract us from the very thing that would actually give us life and health and strength and comfort. Now, you probably recognise that in other circumstances, because the means of grace that God has given to us includes fellowship. And we know sometimes that when we're troubled and anxious, what's the first thing that we do? We go into our isolated corner and we don't want to see anybody. And yet a means of grace to help us at such a time is fellowship. And I guess because we're aware of the heartache, because we're aware of the emotional harm to us, isn't it almost as though in that situation we suspend the word of God? He's given us means of grace, but we suspend that truth because we're burdened and we're genuinely overwhelmed and our mind is genuinely restless and our heart is severely pained. But none of those things give us any right to suspend the word of God. It seems to me that our cares have much more capacity for spiritual damage than we ever give them credit for, because they can lull us into procrastinating and hesitating about recognizing our urgent need to deal with the care. Nobody is saying it's easy to deal with a care. But sometimes, is it not the case that because we are so overwhelmed by something, because we know how hard it is in faith to deal with that care, that we suspend the word of God and give ourselves an excuse not to deal with that care? Because we're aware of the pain that we're feeling, and others are aware of the pain that we're feeling, and we're sympathetic to ourselves, and they're sympathetic to ourselves, and so we won't see the urgent need to seek God for the grace to deal with the burden, hard though that is. See, we're coming on soon to our casting. What is it we do with our cares? Is it not true that often and perversely our cares become a comfort blanket to us? We're so used to our cares that sometimes there might be a specific care in our life, a burden, that is so great and is so unaddressed that we haven't even struggled with in life, that it's almost part of our identity. And we don't want to be without it. And it actually becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy to us that it's never going to be dealt with. It's always going to be part of our makeup. It's a comfort blanket. It seems to me that that's what a care is, or can be. It leads to restlessness of mind. It leads to severe pain in the heart. It's pulling us this way and that way. And it has a lot of power to distract us from seeing the spiritual damage that can occur if we don't seek the grace of God to face it. So we've looked firstly this evening at our cares, our burdens, our sorrows, our griefs, our heartaches, which nevertheless can divide our minds. And more than that, they seem to me to have the capacity to choke the word. Martha would not sit and listen. She was distracted by many things. Second thing I want to say this evening is to draw our attention to the first word in verse 7, our casting. We've got our cares, and we try to dissect those cares to see what they can do to us. And so secondly, let's move on to our casting, which is our response to those cares. And please note this evening with great joy and thankfulness that Almighty God has prescribed a remedy for our cares. And the remedy for our cares is not to stroke them and nourish them and feed them. The remedy in God's word is to cast them. We saw last week that's to throw or to fling. We painted a fishing illustration last week. We're talking here about what's a violent, deliberate action that puts distance between you and your trouble and your anxiety, and does so in a very decisive way. The word to cast was used of Joseph when his brothers cast him in the pit. They didn't intend then to wheel him out again. It's used of the olive tree casting off its blossom. The blossom falls, never to be reunited with the olive tree. It's used of our sins being cast into the depths of the deepest sea. And the Bible speaks of no salvage operation to fish them in again, to reel them in. They've been cast finally, fully, into the depths of the deepest sea. That's what it is to cast. And that's what Almighty God, who loves his people, says to his children about their cares. What's the remedy? There is one. It's the cast. The word is used of the crowd who threw their cloaks upon the donkey as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And I want to ask you this evening, and I'm examining my own heart greatly too. Number one, have we seen the damage that's there by very nature in a care? And in secondly, what are we doing with our cares? What are we doing with our cares? Are we ignoring them and hoping that they'll go away? That's not what Peter says we're to do here. Are we hoping that time will heal? That's not what Peter says here. Are we feeding them so that they grow and grow? That's not what Peter says here. Are we struggling to address them as commanded? Casting all of our cares upon him. That's what we are instructed to do. To cast them. Like the Christian faith, all the way round, not easy, but his commands are not burdensome, and it is our responsibility to seek the grace in our struggle to do what we're commanded to do. And the plain instruction here is we're to cast them, secondly, upon him. We're not to be carrying them, we're not to be feeding them, we're to be casting them upon him. And that means we're to cast our anxieties on God by deliberately, in our own mind's eye, as it were, placing ourselves and the situation that's a care into the mighty hand that's spoken of in verse 6, and trusting the promise that God cares for us, and he has the power and the wisdom and the love to put that care to work in the most glorious way in our lives. That's what faith does. It picks up these anxieties and it casts them on God, believing him to be good, a giver of good gifts, loving and mighty and wise. That's what it is to cast. To trust him. Not to carry it, but to cast it by trusting him. Trusting his wisdom, trusting his love, trusting his care. It's a matter of faith. And can you not see this evening that in our worries and troubles and distraction is that we don't avail ourselves of the remedy? And partly that's because of unbelief. And I found it fascinating that when we've looked before at praying without doubting, we've looked at three common doubts when we pray. One is that God doesn't care. Secondly, that God must be powerless. And a third thing is the doubt is that he can't be just. And we've looked at those a number of times as a church. Those three doubts. He doesn't care. He must be powerless. He can't be just. I put to you that those are three things that we're most prone to doubt at times, particularly in our cares. What fascinated me this week was, wasn't that Martha? What does she say? Do you not care? Do you not care? You see, sometimes under the burden we say, if God knew what anxiety and pain this would bring me, he wouldn't have brought it. But the fact that he did know that and he still brought it is evidence to me that he doesn't really care. What did Martha say? Do you not care? What's the second thing we're prone to doubt? He must be powerless. He could do something, so surely he would have done. Because he can, he would have done, but because he didn't, that's evidence that he isn't able to. What did Martha say to Jesus? Tell her to help me. You haven't done anything. Tell her, use your power, do something. Are you powerless? And thirdly, Martha's effectively saying, how can Jesus let her just sit here when I'm running around in every direction? How can this be just? How can this be for good? Isn't he unjust? And the Bible tells us that none of those three doubts are true. We'll come to his care in a few moments, but is God powerless in your situation? No. Verse 6 mentions his mighty hand, the hand by which he made all things. the hand which he opens to satisfy the desires of every living thing. The hands that redeemed his people, bringing them out of Egypt. The invincible hands from which nothing can ever deliver you if you're a Christian. The upholding hands from Isaiah 41 verse 10. I will uphold you with my righteous omnipotent hand. My friend, in your burden and your care, don't succumb to the doubt that he's not powerful. Don't doubt that he is powerful. Don't succumb to the doubt that he must be powerless. He is mighty. And don't succumb to the doubt that he must be unjust, because the Bible says he is just. His ways are not our ways. His ways are mysterious ways. But he is, as we read this morning, righteous in all of his ways. It is unthinkable that the living God, your loving Heavenly Father, should ever be unjust. And so when you consider your cares, consider the remedy. And cast your cares, and cast them upon him believingly, because he is the Lord Almighty, and he is just, and he is your loving Heavenly Father. But the third thing I want to say about our casting is this. Be aware of the danger of the distraction. Be aware of the danger of failing to cast them. But look carefully, please, at what Peter says from verse 6. You see, verse 7 is the second part of one sentence. In some Bible translations, we have two commands here. It says, humble yourselves. And then at the end of verse 6 is a full stop. And then at the beginning of verse 7 is another command. It says, cast all your cares upon him. It translates it with two commands. But there aren't two commands here. There is only one command spoken of in one sentence. And the command in verse 6 is, humble yourselves. And you ask yourself, how am I to do that? And Peter tells us, we humble ourselves by casting all of our care upon him, for he cares for you. Before we close this evening, I want you to notice that link. Peter here is dealing with pride, he's dealing with humility, and as a way to humbling ourselves, which is so necessary, he gives us the way, which is casting all of our care upon him. The way to deal with situations is not to be proud, but to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And to do that by casting all of our cares upon him. And we need to see that rather painful link. Looking at pride is always a painful thing. But what Peter is saying here is the secret of humility is being able to cast our cares upon God. And the hindrance to dealing with our cares as instructed is our pride and unbelief. Pride is like a flour in a mill. It's produced every time the mill is working. Pride is like a cataract that forms over the eye. It needs to be dealt with before it completely blurs our vision. In times of trial, in times of trouble, in times of anxiety, we don't like the circumstances we're in and we're troubled and fearful of them. And we don't trust God and his sovereignty. And very often we do, don't we? We get troubled and distracted and anxious because we think that the solution to our problem is all down to us. To cope with this is all down to me. And so the temptation is that we turn in on ourselves and our self-reliance and our self-sufficiency. We often entrench ourselves and reinforce our own defences at a time of anxiety and trouble. Whereas Peter says that part of our casting is to recognise the sovereign hand of God and leave the outcome to his wisdom and love. The situation of great and enormous grief which has the ability to pull us apart in every direction, also has the ability to distract us and do real spiritual damage when we don't seek the grace of God to deal with our cares as we're instructed to here, by humbling ourselves and casting those cares upon Him. And that's a real danger, because if we're dealing in self-reliance and self-sufficiency, then quite simply, verse 5, God resists us. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so to the very thing that would give us life and health and strength and comfort, we've turned our back upon it in our self-sufficiency and self-reliance. Whenever our hearts start to be anxious, shouldn't we preach to our hearts and say, "Heart, who do you think you are to be troubled in this way and to nullify the promise of God? And to suspend the word of God? Heart, I am not to exalt myself in this anxiety. I'm to humble myself in peace and joy as I trust this precious and great promise of God with which we finish. He cares for me. He cares for me." We need to see the danger of our cares. We need to see the urgency of casting them upon the Lord. We need to see the danger of pride and the remedy which is to cast them upon Him. Because Peter gives us a reason why we're to do that. At the end of verse 7, he simply says, the reason you're to do this is because He cares for you. You who are burdened this evening, you whose minds are restless, you whose hearts are severely pained, you who are being pulled this way and that way by a trouble or an anxiety, you who are in danger of being spiritually distracted and damaged, you know it matters to God concerning you this evening. He cares for you. We know that from Matthew chapter 6, where again anxiety is the issue. Jesus says, "You're more valuable than the birds of the air." God cares for you so much this evening that He knows what you need. God cares for you so much this evening that He knows how to give good gifts to you. God cares for you so much this evening that the very hairs on your head are numbered. Nobody cares for you like God cares for you. All the days ordained for you were put in His book before one of them came into being. No one cares for you more this evening than God. If you're a believer here tonight, then your name is written on the palm of His hand. That's how much He cares for you this evening. And no one could possibly care for you more. If you're a believer here this evening, He describes you as the apple of His eye, as very precious to Him. He could not care for you more. And when you look at the cross where Jesus died, crushed for your sins, you're seeing how much God cares for you. Do you honestly think this evening that God has done all that for you and brought you thus far to now stop caring for you? He hasn't. He cares for you. And His grace shall lead you home. It was Jacob, wasn't it, who cried, "Everything is against me," at a time when it looked like that, but actually behind the scenes it was completely the opposite. When all seems against us, God is carefully and perfectly and lovingly working out His purposes, as Joseph found when he was thrown in the pit. He later said to his brothers, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good." The hymn writer has said, when all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer. God cares for you this evening. He loves His people and has a great and glorious future in store for them. In your darkness, if you're overwhelmed by a burden this evening, He is still your God. Knowing you by name, loving you with an everlasting love, caring for you, and His promises still stand. the events which are a burden to you have not changed him and his care for you. So don't be unbelieving of his care tonight. And don't be unbelieving of his power or his justice or his mercy or his love. Look to Calvary, which we're about to remember together in these symbols. Remember the Christ who humbled himself for you and cried out in the garden, "Not my will be done, but yours." Remember the Christ who entrusted himself to him who judges justly, and look to him. And don't ignore your cares. They do cause severe pain of heart and restlessness of mind, yet they are like thorns that choke. They are more spiritually harmful than you think, as the distracted soul fails to sit at Jesus' feet to listen to his word and to avail themselves of what would bring them real comfort. So cast them. Cast them as part of humbling yourself under his mighty hand. And as you cast them, you will find that he will sustain you. He will not permit you to be shaken. He will exalt you in due time because he cares for you. So neither ignore your cares nor carry them, but cast them on the one who cares for you.